reaching this.
Well, we don't have, and this is the best committee, we don't have anything to share with you, but I'm going to call on Sam, and he's going to introduce a very special person.
So we have Rush Robinson here with us. So Rush is going to be the new student regent in August, and he's currently the student body president at Shella. So Rush, if you want to introduce yourself.
Hello, everybody. My name is Rush Robinson. First off, I'm very excited to be in this room with you all. I've heard a lot of great things through Sam. So I really look forward to this opportunity. I'm a rising senior here on the Hill. I'm currently triple majoring in psychology, philosophy, and sociology. So I have my hands in a few different places on campus, as well as I'm in the Honors College. I'm involved in a bunch of stuff on campus, but I know you guys probably don't care as much about that as you do, that I will be serving in this role in Sam's shoes. I know Sam's left a big legacy for this role, so I'm excited to follow in his footsteps. But I really do look forward to working with each of you, and I'm excited for this year. So thank you, guys.
That's it.
All right. The executive committee is next, and I want to share with you just a few of the academic highlights for the year 24-25. And time does not permit me to go into everything, but let me just kind of hit the high spots. Our provost kind of stole a little bit of my thunder, but that's all right. Everything is worth repeating when it's as good as we have. We began the year with a record fall-to-fall retention rate of our first-time, first-year students coming in at 78.3%. We had the highest fall-to-spring retention rate in the university's history this spring, with a return rate of 85.7%. I think those are pretty amazing numbers. We continue to be set apart among Kentucky's comprehensive universities, leading in several categories. We awarded over 20% more degrees than the next closest comprehensive university in the state. I think that's a powerful statement to our effectiveness and our student initiatives. In August, we announced that the Opportunity Fund, which had been established in 2018, it had the initial goal, as you all will remember, of raising $50 million. Then it was increased to $100 million, and that has been surpassed, and we have now over $102 million in that Opportunity Fund. What's important about that is not that we raised all that money, but it created 267 new endowed scholarships, and 20,000 students received private scholarship support during the 7 years. So it's for our students, which is what we're all about and why we're here. The College of Health and Human Services received nearly $1.6 million in scholarship from Kentucky Council on Post-Secondary Education. Their investment fund, which again is a wonderful figure. In our community, we got the economic impact through the region and state. We got that information. Statewide in the fiscal year 22-23, WKU added $1.6 billion with a B to Kentucky's economy, supporting approximately 23,996 jobs across the Commonwealth. We have had nationally known authors and entertainers here for various events on our campus. The annual Big Red Dance set a fundraising record of $105,000 for Norton's Children's Hospital. In April, our students raised more than $121,000 for St. Jude's Research Hospital. So our kids are just really working hard on these things. In November, we celebrated the grand opening of our Community Health Science Complex on the South Campus. And additionally, our Center for Applied Science and Health and Aging received a $503,000 grant. individually and institutional achievements in March. We completed the SACO on-site visit. WKU was named the top university for veterans by Military Times. Nationally, we were ranked number 37 for veterans and number 3 in Appalachia. WKU's forensic team, again, was named the Commonwealth's Grand Champion for the 32nd consecutive year at the Kentucky Forensic Association State Championship Tournament. For the 15th straight year, we were listed as one of America's most environmentally responsible colleges and universities. 9 of our graduate programs were named among the nation's best in U.S. News and World Report annual gradation of school rankings. Our student publication collected 2 national Pacemaker Awards, and they celebrated the 100th anniversary publication this last week, and some of you of us were in attendance for that celebration. The WKU marching band traveled to London to participate in London's New Year's Eve Day. More than 500,000 people attended that parade. And it was a wonderful experience for those students to be able to go abroad and participate in that event. Here again, that's what we're all about. 7 WKU students and recent graduates were recognized as semi-finalists in the 24-25 Fulbright U.S. Student Program Competition. 2 of our students were named Goldwater Scholars. Only 5 in the Commonwealth of Kentucky were selected to receive this award. 19 WKU students were awarded a Gilman Scholarship to pursue and study abroad opportunities. Dr. Julia Roberts was named a Conference USA Faculty Achievement Award recipient. Made possible by a gift from Donald and Irene Disney, we established our first endowed deanship, and Dean Boston has been named the College of Health and Human Services Donald R. and Irene S. Disney Dean of the College of Health and Human Services. President Caboni was named the Kentucky Music Educator Association Administrator of the Year. In athletics, our WKU football finished 8-6 overall with an appearance in Conference USA Championship game. Volleyball, our team finished 28-7 in 2024, winning both Conference USA regular season and tournament titles and advancing to the NCAA tournament for the 17th time in the program's history. The Hilltoppers have won 92 straight Conference USA regular season matches. Our baseball team achieved the highest ranking in school history at number 17. Got a Cracker Jack baseball team. And currently sits 34-7 overall as of April 24. Our women's golf won its first conference championship in the 48-year history of the program. And this I am really proud of. WKU student athletes had a 3.24 cumulative fall GPA, the highest in school history, and all 14 sports programs had a team fall cumulative GPA of 3.0 or higher. Somebody is doing a good job. That's just all I've got to say. And I'm proud of that. As far as our campus improvement, we dedicated the Garrett Plaza, which is a beautiful site, as you all know, up on top of the hill. We raised the final beam for the field house. Many of you were in attendance for that. We continue to try to work and improve the campus for the benefit of our students. And that is always in our mind and in our sight. And that's our purpose for being here. President Caboni, I'd like to call on you for any comments you may have.
Well, the one thing missing from your list was the unveiling of the renderings for Cherry Hall. And some of you may have noticed we got some attention for that during the past few weeks. Strangely, absurdly, some folks think we are massacring or destroying Cherry Hall, or trying to erase its history. And what I'll share with you today is what we're really trying to do is preserve its history in a building that's been neglected by our campus for far too long. Now, some of the critiques and concerns that I've seen and been shared with me, I don't know where they come from, because they're not based on the renderings we provided or any of the comments that we've made about the renovation. People have said, we're completely demolishing the front of the building. Not true. We purposely didn't show the renderings of the front because it's changing so little, we didn't think people would be interested in the front view. Somebody said we were taking down the statue of President Cherry. We are not taking down the statue of President Cherry. Mistakenly, someone said we're taking classrooms away to put in a Starbucks. There is no Starbucks in the renderings of Cherry Hall. Somebody said that we're taking away classroom space. There is more classroom space in the renovated Cherry Hall than in the current Cherry Hall. I appreciate that folks are paying attention. Kind of. Someone said we're dismantling the stairs. When time and time again we pointed to the marble stairs as a prime example of the elements of the building we're working hard to preserve. So, honestly, quite honestly, the conjecture and assumptions people are making about this project, some of them really are just not rooted in reality and not based on the six renderings we've shared. But I share their passion for the building. Cherry Hall is our most iconic structure, and we will preserve it as such. And I think it's important. We're going to restore the front windows of the building to their original design. We're going to remove from the 1960s the rear addition to return the entry to the building to the ground floor. We're also going to take away the awful drop ceilings that you see throughout the building, some of which are falling on our students as they walk the hallways. Other awful things like the cheap linoleum tile that's destroyed the pine flooring. We're doing all that and taking the temporary walls that were put in place in the 50s and 60s away. And more than half the work that we're going to do, you'll never see. It's on the HVAC, the electrical, and every mechanical system in the building. Y'all will recall, we asked for an appropriation or approval of $35 million. When we got behind the walls, we realized we could spend $35 million on the building and you'd never know it because it hasn't been taken care of. And so we came back and asked for an increase in that. So I want you to be here and be clear. The marble staircases will remain untouched. Marble and pine will continue to be used throughout the building as it was used in the 1936 original structure. But I'm also going to say this. We have a once-in-a-generation opportunity, and we cannot, and we will not, restore the interior of the building to a classroom building built to serve the campus in 1936. It wouldn't serve our students, and it wouldn't serve the way they learn today. I want to share an email message I got with you, because lots of people have been saying lots of things on social media. And this fellow who has interacted, not with me, but with Beth several times, took the time to write and said, you know, I've had several classes in Cherry Hall, and its current facilities are an embarrassment and are in dire need of modernization. I've actually sat in an undersized desk chair that was unacceptable and created an uncomfortable learning environment. This new plan will combine the memory of the original building with the best current technology and comfort the budget allows. No one who has ever taken a class in the current Cherry Hall will forget its history and should be grateful for the proposed changes, which will create a state-of-the-art, innovative environment to support teaching students in the modern era. And somebody else, a voice of reason, I found the proposed renovations, and it looks like it's mainly in addition to the rear of the building, it's actually taking something off, and updating interior spaces. Front looks unchanged. I think it looks nice. What are the objections to updating and modernizing the building to fit today's needs for the university? Sounds like it will make Cherry Hall a more used and vibrant part of the campus, and I agree, it will. I and the university deeply value the historical significance of the facility in the building. and the strong connection to our campus and the community and how they feel about it. So it's important to remember, yes, we had a limited number of renderings that are meant to offer a glimpse into design concepts. And so these are concepts, not final plans. And I think the WKU family will be excited to see the care that we've taken to preserve the unique historical features of the building. We've had a group of faculty and staff working for over a year, and none of these decisions were made in a vacuum. From the beginning and throughout the entire project, our North Star was focused on how to maintain the character of the building and its significance to our community, while also making the upgrades to ensure it will remain our most iconic structure. But doing nothing is not an option. And so you'll see in many ways the outside will return to the original design elements. So we're going to honor the building's past and ensure it's around not just for another 90 years, but designed to serve our students. It will remain our most iconic facility. The wood you see is returning to the pine floors in the original design. The front facade is going to remain unchanged. The original windows will be restored. And we're going to restore the rear elevation view to the original pre-60s hilltop egress at the ground level. So the last thing I want to say is we don't redesign buildings or create new structures just to build buildings. I'm from New Orleans. I care deeply about historic preservation. When I arrived here on this campus, some of you will remember, we were going to build a brand new building and wrap it around the Helm Library that was falling apart. I stopped that project and put the money into Helm. And now we have a commons that we can all be proud of, and it's probably our most popular facility on our campus. This renovation has to support student engagement in ways that are relevant to today's students, not students from 1936. I know there are other places for students to gather on campus. And yes, the Commons is just down the hill. But we have to create spaces that are sticky, that take our students, retain them in a building, and create opportunities for academic community. And so thank you to our alumni. Thank you to our friends who shared their opinions. The university's president would never allow the destruction of our most iconic facility. And so I am certain that you will be proud when this project's over and what we've created for another generation of Hilltoppers to experience Jerry Hall. And so with that, Mr. Chair, I think that answers the questions that we've had from a lot of folks, and I'm really proud of the work that a lot of folks have done on the facility. We will make people proud. We're not putting a Starbucks in the building. We're not changing the front facade. We're not taking down the President Cherry statue. We're actually honoring the history and tradition of the building in a way that it deserves.
Thank you, President Caboni. Do we have anything else that we need to bring before our committee meeting? Anyone have anything?
I think that this is a good time to remind anyone of the same trains of thought that the demographic cliff is here, and all these numbers we deal with that are showing we're dealing with that quite well with retention rates, but the Industrial Revolution is over. You know, it's a knowledge economy, and all the jobs out there that America needs and wants require what universities do. And it seems a good time to mention that on the heels of what you just said.
It also is a reminder that at a time when the humanities are consistently under attack from many parts of our country, we made a decision as an institution to invest $75 million in their hall.
Thank you for those comments, President Caboni and Regent Bell. Anybody else have any comments they'd like to make? Well, hearing none, I'm going to declare the committee meeting adjourned.